Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
The Tennis Connected podcast for November 9th, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the ATP World Tour Finals. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for all your ticket and traveling needs to the upcoming Australian Open. Let's introduce our co-host for this week. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing great. You know, fall is in full swing. Still no snow on the ground here, which is great for me. But we're getting ready to, embrace some world-class tennis from London, we hope. It's a little bit of a decimated field. We'll get into that in a moment. I've got a couple other things we need to talk about. Wrap up Paris. Talk a little bit about Milan and the next-gen final that's taking place right now. And then we'll be off and ready to go. So, Parsa, let's first wrap up Paris quickly. We had Jack Sock, American Jack Sock. I mean, that's probably the biggest title for an American in how many years, right? I don't even know. Like the Andy Roddick days, like it's been ages since an American has won a Masters 1000 or a Grand Slam, right?
So, I mean, pretty apparent that American tennis has been absent for a few years now, and
yes.
You know, even though decimated, it was a good result. He was able to battle and get his way through, and showing that forehand was maybe the best shot of the tournament.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people, again, Parsa, I don't know how much you saw of the Paris, especially early doors there, but he was playing against Kyle Edmund on one of the outside, like not outside courts, but one of the smaller courts, and he was down 5-1 in the third set. And he came back and he won that match, and then he wins the tournament. So yeah, obviously Nadal had to withdraw, and you know, Federer didn't come, and we know everybody else was injured, but who cares, right? You got to get it done. Somebody else could have won that draw. That tournament, right? Like Krajinovic, as a qualifier, makes the finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many opportunities every week that if you got to take your chances, right? Like, Krajinovic is 33 in the world now. The guy's been doing nothing. He was touted as this top junior, all this sponsorship, and lost everything basically. And now, you know, he makes the finals of Paris, gets tons of points. He's 33 in the world, on the cusp of being seeded at the Australian Open. So he's pretty much set for next year now. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, that's the way it goes, right? So you got to take your opportunities and, you know, congrats to Jack Sock. He gets in. The only way you could have gotten into London was by winning Paris, and that's exactly what he did. So, you know, kudos to him for doing that. I think
he had packed for it?
That's a good question. I don't know. He's probably got to get a suit, and, you know, they fixed up his dressing room really quickly, and he's in a good spot right now. He's feeling high and good. I think the only, you know, dark spot on the tournament was maybe Nadal having to withdraw. I think that was more precautionary because I saw him practicing in London on some video footage. No, his knees are not taped, so here's hoping that he can play the whole tournament at least 3-4 matches and see how that goes for him. Federer is in town, looks like he's ready to go. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't think anything is a lock. I would say Federer for me is the favorite. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. And something else we've got to discuss is that next-gen final that's taking place, starting out for, I think this is day 3 now. Some cool stuff. I mean, I like some of the stuff. I don't like some of the stuff. I'm not really into these short sets. I just think it's a little bit, like, nobody understands. You know how many people have called me? Like, why did Shapovalov win 4-3? What's happening?
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know? It just doesn't, you know. There needs to be some sort of explanation, but I guess they're just using it to experiment a little bit and give these kids a little more exposure. But it is sort of a little bit of a mockery almost.
Yes.
And definitely with the score, because no one's understanding it.
No, the score is definitely an issue. I would take that out, just make it a 3-set match. Done. I really like how the lines are called, with the automated line calls. I think that stuff is on point. not really crazy about Red Bull being a sponsor since the drink is terrible for you and they're you know supporting a sporting event. Other than that, I like the shot clock a lot. I think that's another excellent tool. And I mean, I like the headsets on the side of the court. You can talk to your coach. That's more interactive. I think that's also really, really cool. So those type of things, I think they're moving in the right direction. It's good to try out stuff. But I definitely think the scoring, what it's done, is it doesn't make it feel like an actual tournament. It makes it feel like these guys are playing for fun. You know what I mean? And I think that's where maybe they're falling short a little bit this year. And I think they'll address that for next year. And I think there's no ad scoring. And then the server gets choice of where they want to serve on that game point, essentially. And, you know, that maybe the receiver should get that as well. So we'll see how it unravels and plays out. But I think Chorch is doing well. Rublev is in there. Hachinov, those guys. So Chung is playing really well this week. He's one to watch. Such a cerebral type of guy. You don't hear much from him, but super, you know, strong guy, massive legs, and moves really well. Doesn't really have the biggest shots. He can hit a couple big forehands here and there. Kind of reminds me of a Vernon Tomic who moves about 10 times better and who actually cares. So, I mean, you can take that and say that guy's going to be pretty good if that's the case. So we'll see how that turns out. But, I mean, Parse, if you have no any final thoughts on Milan, we'll jump right into the London preview here.
Yeah, no, I love the little quirky formats. I agree with you with the headsets. I agree with the line calls. Don't love the shortened sets because no one really understands it. But it is refreshing to see. Also, did you notice one thing, Nima?
Yes.
Shapovalov hits with shape. You see that?
Like what, with spin, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watched him at the U.S. Open, and he was just belting everything as hard as possible, hard
yes.
and flat. And I'm watching him here, and he's using spin to push the opponent back and then step in and hit it. I don't know. Let's watch out for that. If he starts to add that sort of second, third gear into his game, watch out. I mean, because he's going to beat all the guys where he can beat them by defending a little bit more and by playing a little bit more neutral. And then he's also got his aggressive stuff, so he doesn't need to be super on fire in order to beat guys. You know, he could play 85-90% tennis and still win. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch for Australia.
Yeah, and I think with Dennis, I mean, you watch this guy, and like yesterday, I think he hit 41 winners, if I'm not mistaken, right? And he's off on everything, and can he keep that up, right? Like, at what point, because we all have a conscience, and we all have like this reflective ability, right? Like, do we sit back and say, okay, so this is how I'm just going to play the rest of my career, just step up there and just smash the ball everywhere? That's a hard thing to do, right? Like, when, you know, he starts getting more comfortable with his slice backhand, will that, in essence, deter away from his overall power game, right? Because, you know, the variety will come in, something definitely that he needs to get. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's basically like when he wakes up. You know, I think he's dreaming right now a little bit, and he just goes out there and he just smashes everything. Sometimes I don't even think he knows where the ball is going. But it, you know, just, you know, clipping the lines, and he looks like a genius. But it's going to be interesting to see how his game develops. This might lead to him becoming more of a streaky guy where one week he can just destroy everybody. And then, you know, he'll lose first round 2-3 weeks in a row. So, really, but I mean, with that said, immensely talented. And he's embracing the moment. He likes, you know, the stage, so to speak. And I think that it's great for tennis as an overall. With that said, let's move over now to the ATP World Tour Finals, the NITO ATP Finals, as it's called this year. We have two groups named after legends. First group is the Pete Sampras group, headed by Nadal, Dominic Thiem, Dimitrov, and David Goffin. And then, Parsa, we have the Boris Becker group, which is led by Roger Federer, Alex Zverev, Marin Cilic, and the last qualifier, which is Jack Sock. So, moving back now to the Nadal group here, Parsa. It's a tough group for me because at full health, you got to pick Nadal to come through here, right? But if he's 80% with realistically Australia looming in about a month and a half, 2 months, you know, and he's got finals points to defend there, you know that's really what his main focus is going to be, right? go chill
Yeah,
out.
and I have read something that you know, on Saturday he's going to make his final determination if he's going to even go.
Yes.
So it's going to be tricky.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we don't really know. I mean, that's a massive thing because, with all due respect to Carreño Busta, right? If he takes Nadal's spot, it's going to be a pretty lackluster quarter, like section here. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. You can message me on Twitter on that one, but it's not good. And so we'll see. I mean, I think so. These are my reservations here. I mean, this is interesting for me because team has been in terrible form, right? Not playing well. And this hard court, Parsa, is the second fastest hard court for the year after Shanghai. I
Oh
actually,
boy.
yeah, so that's, and you know how, and we've seen how team struggles, right, on these type of surfaces. So I think for me that that's going to be a telling factor. So, Parsa, I found it, I got an interesting graphic that tells you the CPI rating, which is the court index rating, right, for the year. So this year, the fastest court has been Shanghai at 42.9. And just to give you an example, obviously clay would be slower. So Rome is at 20, 22. Madrid is at 20. Paris, which was a couple weeks ago, was 37.5. Cincy is 33.6, and Montreal is 36.3. So, and last year, because we haven't had London yet this year, it was 42.1. And last year Shanghai was 44.4. So I anticipate London to be around the same, let's call it 40 on the low end. And that's a pretty fast surface, which obviously you're going to give a major check mark there to Roger Federer because he thrives in these type of environments, right? But then
Right.
when you look at a guy like Nadal, even at his best, he doesn't thrive under those environments. But you know what? Neither does Dominic Thiem. Dimitrov, maybe. Then you got a guy like David Goffin. And my reservations for Goffin are that he's beat up, played he had a more than successful Asian swing, which I don't even think he anticipated by taking a couple titles. He had to play Antwerp because, you know, that's his home event. And then he still wanted to play, you know, in Basel as well as Paris. So he is gassed in my opinion. And Parsa, he still has the Davis Cup final to contend with. So lots of tennis still on the horizon. This guy's going to get, you know, 3 weeks off before he's got to get ready for the Australian Open. And he's not the biggest, most imposing guy out there either, right? So does he just, you know, go on fumes, make the final four? I'm not sure. For me, if Nadal plays, I think, and people will give us this asterisk because we don't know. If Nadal plays, I'm going Nadal Dimitrov into the final four. If Nadal doesn't play, I'm going with Dimitrov and Goffin to make the final four.
I mean, I can't dispute that. Those are the, you know, the two guys that I was looking at as well. Carreño Busta goes in there. He's just,
And
you know,
he's
he can beat a
injured
lot of
too,
players,
Parsa.
but he can't, you know, necessarily do well against the top guys or the top 10 guys. You know, so for me, it ends up being the same exact thing as what you were saying. It's going to be a combo of Nadal and Dimitrov or Dimitrov and Goffin. And I'm just going to go out there and just say it. I'm going to take Dimitrov and Goffin regardless because I don't think Nadal's going to finish the round robin up.
No, I don't think so. I think it's too much of a risk. And this is just very unfortunate, especially as tremendous of a year that he's had. You know that he wants to play this badly and wants to finish on a high and get ready for next year because he's such a confidence guy. And I'll never forget this quote that, you know, Chris Fowler asked him at the beginning of the year, like, do you have any doubts or whatever? He goes, I have doubts every single day of my life. And this is coming from a guy who, you know, if you listen to him talk, he doesn't sound like the number one ranked player in the world, right? He sounds like just a guy who's out there and just wants to give it his best. And for him to have a little bit of a slip up here, I don't think he, I still think he would come into Australia fully healthy, right? Because he'll just take as much time as he needs. He's still got a couple, 2.5 months. But I think in terms of the mental aspect of it, you know, that question will, you know, arise like, am I ready to go deep again here? As opposed to, you know, I can make the finals in London, even if I lose to Federer or if I win the tournament for the first time, that's going to give him a tremendous boost for the beginning of the season, which next week in our podcast to wrap up the year, our final podcast of the season, you know, I'll look to discuss how I think the Australian Open is vital to Nadal's complete year, even more so than the French Open, just because you have all these guys coming back. And, you know, I think Djokovic is going to be super dangerous. And so I think for Rafa, you know, Australia is a massive, you know, focal point for the season for him. Moving now to the second group, the BB Becker group here, Parsa. We got Fed, Zverev, Cilic, Sock. A little bit more competitive here. Going to be interesting to see how Sock plays. If he believes he's dangerous because he's got a massive forehand and a massive serve, and I think the surface can suit him, even though he's got that Western grip on the forehand. We know Cilic can be dangerous. Zverev can be dangerous, but I think he's a little bit tired. I think as a result of that, he potentially, you know, he might get a win, but I don't think he's going to go 2-1 or 3-0. And then Fed, if he's feeling good, which I think he is, you got to take him definitely to go in. So for me, I'm going with Federer and Cilic to make the semis here. Fed 1, Cilic 2. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, very good. I have to take Federer. That's a given.
Yes.
And Federer to finish as my one. And after that, I think Zverev is just tired. He's been playing tired since the U.S. Open.
Yes.
Cilic is probably the most big match type player that's in this section, obviously, besides Federer.
Yes.
And then you've got a really informed, nothing to lose Jack Sock.
That could be dangerous, yeah.
And dangerous. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I'm going to go Federer and Sock.
Okay. Very good. So if we go back to the other side, again, we have to do the asterisks. I think if Nadal plays, he actually finishes 2 in this quarter. And I think Dimitrov finishes 1. So that's if Nadal plays. So I would go Dimitrov versus Cilic. And then Nadal versus Federer, actually, in the semifinals. I would go Federer for sure over Nadal, and I would go Cilic over Dimitrov, and then I would have Federer defeating Cilic in the finals in straight sets. Then, if it's Goffin and Dimitrov, I still have Dimitrov finishing 1 in the group to face Cilic, right? And then Federer to face Goffin, I have Federer over Goffin. And then I still have Cilic over Dimitrov. Federer, still the same result. Still have Federer winning. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm gonna have Dimitrov winning the Sampras group, and he'll be facing Sock. And I think Sock's gonna come through there. And then we've got Federer winning the Becker group, and he's gonna face Goffin. And obviously Federer's gonna go through, and then Federer is going to absolutely dismantle Sock's backhand and just disable the forehand side. And I think Federer is going to win pretty comfortably here.
Yeah, and it's just going to cap off a tremendous season for the Swiss star. And, I mean, he deserves it. I mean, I don't care who's been playing this year, who hasn't been playing. You know, this guy's 36 and some change, still right up there. And I think, you know, he could very well become the world number one player at the Australian Open, because he has obviously final championship points to defend. Nadal has finals points to defend. You know, if Rafa goes down early or is injured, I mean, somebody else, who knows? I mean, I don't know if you've seen the latest world rankings, Parsa, but it's an absolute mess right now. You know, we have Djokovic as 12 in the world as of today, and Murray is 16. So we could have a situation where, you know, Nadal is facing Murray in the fourth round of the Australian Open. And Murray, I believe, still is going to be losing some points, if I'm not mistaken, because he won London last year. And Djokovic made the finals. So, I don't know. And then,
it's insane.
Yeah, and then you have, I mean, Jack Sock is going to be, you know, a top 8 player there. You know, Stan is still number 7, somehow. And then you got Del Potro up to 11. So, it's going to start getting, I think, pretty interesting down under, and I'm, you know, thoroughly looking forward to that one. But I guess I think I would say that that's pretty much about it for this week. Just looking forward to the action. That tournament gets underway on Sunday, so we still have quite a few days until that takes place. Next Gen Finals will be wrapping up right before, you know, London commences. And that's it. Parsa and I will be back next Sunday, not this Sunday, next Sunday, to wrap up London, just give an overview of the year as we gear up for 2018. So that's it, Parsa. Thanks very much for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Once again, if you're looking to get down to London with some last-minute tickets or packages for the event, make sure to hit up Top Notch Tennis Tours. And then subsequently, if you're looking to get down to the Australian Open, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Thank you very much for joining us. Make sure to hit up Parsa on Twitter as well as on Instagram. Check us out at Tennis Connected. Make sure to download this podcast on iTunes and never miss another episode. Thanks again for listening, and we'll chat with you guys very soon. We'll be right back.